Today's daf is daf Ayin, and we're holding on the top line. Amri Nahardoi. Amri Nahardoi lo katvinan urchata metaltala. Continuing the sugya yesterday about the question of ownership, when the ownership cannot be maintained because it's in someone else's rishus, and that person now is the ganav, and he's possibly even in a case where it's not your rishus for other reasons that we'll see later on. But in any event, if you want to write a power of attorney, an urchata is a power of attorney. We call it an urchata. Urchata is a lotion of the shilton, an archon, so it's a governor. So an urchata is you use a power of attorney that is government approved, called urchata usually. You cannot write a power of attorney on chattel to allow somebody to go and recover that chattel from you, from a ganav, or from a shomer who has a pikadon, according to Rashi either. And the reason for this is, Am Rav Ashi la meimer my time. Rav Ashi wanted to understand that, so a meimer told him, because of Rabbi Yochanan's yisod. Mishum di Amr Rabbi Yochanan, gozal v'lo nityashua ba'alim, shneyem einam yecholim la'agdish, zelefi she'enu shalom, zelefi she'enu b'shutim. So in other words, what Rabbi Yochanan says is that when a guy does not have something under his control, it's not under his thumb, he's not considered to be a Baalim. Since he's not considered to be the Baalim, how in the world can he write a power of attorney, which is the transference of the rights of his ownership? According to Rabbi Yochanan, his ownership at this point is paralyzed because he's unable to assert his ownership. And that explains why you can't write a power of attorney. Ikiri Amin, there's another lashon that says Amin Nardoi. Look at Vinur Urchata Metatale the Kafret. You cannot write a power of attorney on Metatalim where the individual who had the item had already been taken to court and had denied that he owed it to you. That was the issue. The reason that you cannot write such a power of attorney is not because of Rabbi Yochanan, but rather because we hold that it's considered to be, as we'll see later on, signing on something that is sheker. Who's going to sign on a power of attorney that's already been established in court as possibly being a joke? This guy may not even own it. You can't sign on a document that says, I, as the owner, appoint so-and-so to go and recover it. So therefore, there's no way to write, after you already took the guy to court, there's no way to write the power of attorney. So apparently over there, so it's michzik ashikra. The reason is that it looks like the Aiden that are signing on a lie. Because, I mean, it has not been established that you own it. How am I signing that you're giving over your rights of putative ownership that may not exist? So according to this, it's dafka because of kafre, of a low kafre. If it wouldn't be that the guy had already been established in court as denying your ownership on it, so then, you would be able to write, as opposed to the first lashon, that there's a machlokes between the achronim, whether this means necessarily that it's not like Rabbi Yochanan, or whether there may be different approaches to the mechanism of a power of attorney. So if a power of attorney is indeed signing over rights of ownership, so then, enachinami, I mean, you can't sign over rights that you don't have, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not Bershutcha, and therefore your ownership is valueless. But if the power of attorney works solely by allowing you to appoint an agent, so you could certainly yourself be Toveya something in court, so perhaps you can appoint an agent to be Toveya something in a court. Okay, this gets into issues of Mili, whether it's Mimsarate to an agent, gets into questions about where a person can tie the Lav Baldvar in the Diyat. It's a rather complex sugya. Again, here it's only tangential to the main yisod of Rabbi Yochanan. So now, Amri Nardoi, a further thing that the Nardoi said about power of attorneys is that an urchata de lokati bezil don vezachi va'apik lanafshecha let be mishasha. If you write a power of attorney that does not have in it the clause that says that the carrier of this power of attorney can take to court, be zoche in court, and take it for yourself. If it doesn't say you can take it for yourself, then it's useless to be tovea. Now, it may be useful for other things of collection, but not for a court case. Why? My time of Hashem, the Amar Lehech, the person that you want to use the power of attorney against, as saying you have a right to take him to court, he could say, excuse me, sir, never saw you before, I have nothing to do with you, lav bal dvorim didiat, I'm not interested in responding to this guy's agents. If he wants to talk to me, he can come and take me to court himself. But once you write those magic words, then obviously the agent says, I'm sorry, but I am very much personally involved in this case. Because if I win, I keep. And therefore you can't say, la bal dvarim didiat. Omer Abaya says, Abaya, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to let him keep the whole darn thing. If you give him a percentage, so you write, you go, this is like the typical collection agency's power of attorney, right? So you give the collection agency 50%. I mean, nowadays, in today's market, it's up to 93%. Collection agency gets 93%. But that's because they pay you 7%, so they bought it. That's different. They're ready to lay out money if it looks good to them. Okay. But anyway, so if you gave him the rights for 50%, or a third, or 25%, so there, bigo de bishtai din apalga, I mean, there's no way to sue a guy for a half a case. He can no longer say, well, I don't have to go to court because I don't know you. So what do you mean? I own 10% of this. So once the court has to establish who owns the item for that 10%, then obviously it's the same case. You know? Don't deal with the 10%. So then, migo de bishtai din apalga, since you're able to take him to court for the percentage is yours, bishtai din akula, the power of attorney is useful for the entire amount. Omer Abaye, itafas lo mafkinon mine. Lamaisa, if the shliach was tofes, then we won't take it away from him. Now there's two approaches here. One approach is that even if you don't write in it that you have a right to keep it, the power of attorney, as I pointed out earlier, was still useful for anything other than a court appearance. For a court appearance, the guy could say, I do not feel responsible to respond to you. I never saw you before. If this guy wants to sue me, let him come. But the power of attorney is certainly useful for any other functions. So if this guy now sneaks into the one's house, takes the picadon, and now this guy wants to get it back from him, say, he had no right to take the picadon, it's irrelevant. But so what do you mean it's irrelevant? He was empowered by the owner to take the picadon. Doesn't have to be taken for himself. You're now the one who wants to sue him, boy. You can't sue him. That has nothing to do with la bal dvarim didiat. So there you certainly could keep it. Now that's... Yes?
Is this more than shlichus?
Yes. This is giving over rights of ownership to enable you to be toveya in court. Because it's possible that shlichus alone is insufficient.
That
seems to be the difference between the two lashonot of Naradoi. Now, the other pshat is that if the one who was given the power of attorney keeps the money for himself, where we didn't specify, then we will not take it away from him. In other words, the fact that he carries the power of attorney means that there's an assumption that he had a right to take the guy to court. He had a right to take the guy to court for himself. So lo mafkinon mine. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, no, that's not true. Because note that in the standard form of a power of attorney, it also adds the line that kol dibitani min dina kabilat alai. All court-related expenses are going to be borne by me. So how in the world, if this guy is being mechayev himself to pay for all of the expenses, so why in the world would we think that the shliach is the guy that has a right to keep it? I mean, that doesn't make sense at all. So all he did, basically, was he made him a shliach shavya. He made him a shliach, and since he only made him a shliach, so clearly he doesn't have any rights of collection, according to the first pshat, the second pshat, of keeping it, rather. And according to the first pshat, we would be able to take it away from him because the din is, if you are tofes from a bal chov for somebody else, not for yourself, then we're mafkinamine. Since you have no rights to it, why do we say we have no rights? Because if I had rights, why does this other guy write in the power of attorney that he's going to take all the expenses of going to court on himself? So obviously, he thinks he's the owner, not I'm the owner.
You want to go
So therefore, according to both of these lashonot, the din is that we would take it away from him. Now, Ikri Amri, others say that he's not a shliach. He could still be a partner. So in other words, the partnership would be, okay, you do the legwork of getting this back from the guy. Whatever that involves, I mean, sneaking into his house and taking it, going to court, I don't know, you do the legwork, and I'll pay the expenses. I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable arrangement. That doesn't necessarily imply that I own the whole thing. It may be a typical partnership arrangement in which one person puts in the capital, the other person is putting in the work. So why should we assume that he's a shliach? Therefore, the Ikri Amri hold shut for Shavya. He made him actually a partner. And if he made him a partner, I mean, albeit he can't keep the whole thing, or perhaps he wouldn't be able to be tofes the whole thing from the other guy, but he could certainly be mitvas palga. I mean, we would assume that it's a partnership to allow him to take part of it. But the hilchata is shliach shavya. Lehalacha, the power of attorney, is an agency. It's not a partnership, unless, of course, it says beferish in it, that it's a partnership. But if he left out the line of your being able to keep it for yourself, so then we understand it to be a straight-out agency. And the acceptance of the responsibility for any court costs or anything else, or taxi cabs, or whatever expenses are involved, that is not an indication of anything other than shlichut. You're just in time, dear President. Ganava pishnai. Now we're going to get into the prote dinim of Arba Avachamisha. So, what kind of testimony and what kind of act of Tvicha Mechira do we need in order to be Machayev Yutashlomi Arba Avachamisha? So suppose we have now two witnesses that testify to the Geneva. And then we have two other witnesses that testify to the sale. Is that also good? I mean, so if you were going to Vapishnaim and you were Tavakumakar Alpihem, says the Mishnah, okay. I mean, and obviously all the information is coming from one source, so it all makes sense. But even, says the Mishnah, Alpishnaim Achirim, even if the people that are being made on the sale or on the Shechita are only saying, we saw this guy shecht an animal, which is a meaningless statement. I mean, people shecht animals all the time. Do you know it was a stolen animal? No. So your meaningless statement, you're coming to court to drive us crazy, go back home. Listen to some music. Take a shower. I mean, afal pikein, since we have other testimony that says that this was a stolen animal, so at that point, that's also good to be b'chayiv you arba v'chamisha. And we're going to see more of this in the Gemara. Ganav u'makar b'shabbat. Now, as far as the act is concerned, you are going to be chayiv arba v'chamisha only where there was no din of kam lei ben rabamine. But if in the course of doing what you did, you were mechal Shabbos, so let's say you did the tficha on Shabbos, okay, I understand. But if you sold on Shabbos, so sell is not considered to be an act of chil Shabbos because of your skila, therefore there's no kam lei ben rabamine. So if you sold the animal on Shabbat, or you were gonev and mocher to an avodah zara, you sold it to the church, there's no iser misa selling something to the church. Ganav v'tavach b'Yom Kippurim, or for that matter, even if you shechted it on Yom Kippur, there's only a chiyuv karet. According to everyone but Rabbi Yochanan ben Hakana, there's no din of kam lo ben rabbi b'nei when it comes to karet, only when you did something that would be mechayev you a capital punishment in court, not min hashamay. Ganav mishel aviv. Now another interesting issue would be, a guy takes an animal from his father, and he does the Tvicha Mechira, and subsequently his father died. Now, before he paid it. So now, I mean, he's coming, like the brothers want him to pay Arba Avachamisha, they should get to keep their portion of it. He says, ah, come on, I mean, I inherited it anyway. I mean, it's irrelevant. No, it's not irrelevant, because at the time that you did the Tvicha Mechira, the father was still alive. So therefore, you had no rights to it. Ganav v'tavach. Or, let's say you did the Gneva and the Tvicha Mechira, and then you went ahead and gave it to Hegdash. It's irrelevant, because you're chayev for what the status was at the time that you did the Tvicha Mechira, not what it is now. And therefore, Mishanta Shlomei Arba V'chamisha. You can't say yes, but it says Reyehu and not Hegdash. Who's talking about? That happened after the whole issue. Now it's irrelevant who owns it. You stole my animal, you shechted my animal. Ganav v'tavach l'refu'ah. You went ahead and you stole it. You were desperate. You needed this to use the blood, the meat, whatever, to save your life. Or leklavim. You did it because your dog needed dog food. But there was no intention of eating anything. So it's irrelevant. For that matter, even if ashochet v'nimtza treifa, even if you weren't able to eat it because the animal turned out to be a treifa, after you shechted it, you found that its lungs were no good. Or you shechted the animal chulin ba'azoras, you're not able now to use it because it's usur to utilize an animal that was shechted in the azara. So what's the difference? Bottom line is, you stole it, you shechted it, mishal teshulmi arba v'chamisha. But Rabbi Shimon, as we know, Rabbi Shimon shita is all over Shas. Shchita she'ena ru'uya, lav shma shchita. If the shchita is not matir, the animal to you, so if it was a treif, it wasn't matir to you. If it was chulin ba'azara, it wasn't matir to you. And therefore, it's not called a shchita. The Torah says you shechted it, but you didn't shecht it. The other cases where you wanted it for dog food, or you wanted it for medication, there's a shechita ru'uya. What you wanted to do with it has nothing to do with it. And therefore, he says the last two cases of treifa and chulin ba'azara, over there, Rabbi Shimon, is poter.
For his dog, why does he have to shechit?
Sorry?
For his dog.
Whatever, but his dog is a very frum dog. Listen. Reb Chanina ben Dosa's animal wouldn't eat even if you didn't take off d'mai. Koshike, well, you got to give him dog food without a hecture. No. Yes, that's for sure. That's why if you shechter it, it's not edible, it's not kosher. It's not called a shechit even when you do it right, when you do the action right. So tficha is tficha. Lema matniti delok Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah says if two Adam say he stole it, and two Adam say that he shechted it or sold it, that is b'chayev him. But Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva obviously would disagree with this, no? Because Rabbi Akiva says, al pi shnayei edim, etc. yakum davar. So Rabbi Akiva says, a davar means a whole meaningful statement. V'lo chatzi davar. I mean, you can't have a half of a statement. If a guy comes into court and he says, so-and-so shechted an animal, that is a trivial statement. And therefore you say, yes, but we can make it very non-trivial by adding more information to it. I mean, but did this guy say the davar? No. Yakum davar. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it would appear that the Mishnah would make no sense. Either it's the same two people who are saying he was gonev, v'tover mocher, or you have no testimony to the tvicho mechira. Omer Rabbi Yossi, kishalach abba chalafta, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'lmod Torah. Well, I want you to know that when my dad Chalafta went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah. That's how the Rashbam learns that his father's name is Chalafta. We always refer to him to Avi Chalafta. So he went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or actually some say that what he said was, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri came to learn Torah by my dad, it's Abba Chalafta, Amarlo. Now who the Amarlo is obviously depends on the Girsa. But A is said to B, plug in the proper A and B depending on the Girsa. So he said to him, how about in a case where you're trying to establish the rights to a field? Now, the din is that if you don't have a contract, but you claim that you had a contract, but that you've been using this field for years, nobody ever said anything, so you finally lost the contract because you weren't being careful with it because it was no longer relevant. So the din is that 3 years are indeed sufficient indication that the field is yours, and you don't have to be able to show the contract. So that's called a chazaka on real estate. Now, suppose you have 3 years, but you've got two separate sets of witnesses for each of the 3 years. So he asked, what would be a case where a guy, Achla Shana Rishana, utilized the field for 1 year, Pifnei Shnayim? So he brings those two witnesses for the year Tavshin Samach Vav. And then he brings another two witnesses for the year Tavshin Samach Zay. And then he brings another two witnesses. This would not really be a very good case because then he's got Shemitah in the middle. We better move it up. Okay. So then he's got another two witnesses for 3 years, right? So is that a good chazaka, or do we say that each of the witnesses isn't really saying anything meaningful? Amarlo, so he told him, no, that's a good chazaka. Arezo chazaka. Amarlo, so he said, it's interesting, I also thought that. Afani Omer, it makes a lot of sense to me. But apparently Rabbi Akiva disagrees with us. Elisha Rabbi Akiva cholek b'davar. Shaya Rabbi Akiva Omer, since it says in the Torah, al pishnai edim, or pishloshai edim, yakum davar, a davar means a davar, velo chatzi davar. So, very fascinating. Says Abai, no. This Mishnah works out perfectly well according to Rabbi Akiva. Because, look, Afilatem Rabbi Akiva, let me ask you something. Suppose in a case where two witnesses come in, they come to court, and we say, we saw this guy having intercourse with this woman. So we'll say, what are you, a voyeur? Get the heck out of here. Whose business is it? Oh, but somebody else says, another kind says, wait, that's not trivial. She's an Ashes Ish. We saw somebody else marry that woman the week before. So now the Shaila is over there. I mean, what's Rabbi Akiva going to say? That the two people who said they saw someone now violating a married woman, I mean, it's true they didn't know she was a married woman. We know she's a married woman. So you're going to say that's a trivial piece of information? I mean, isn't that considered to be the testimony on sleeping with an Ashes Ish, right? I mean, it's true. Normally, we establish that a woman is an Ashes Ish, as Tosis points out, with the Chazaka. I mean, they've been married, so they're married. But over here, we know nothing about this woman. Comes along now, 218. Milo Mani Rabbi Akiva, where you have two witnesses saying, look, in Chodesh Elul, we saw Shruvain going and being Mekadesh this woman. And now these two witnesses say, well, in the following Tishrei, we saw Shimon sleeping with this woman. So now, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva be made that that's valid testimony? The Afagab. Ushnayim Omrim Baal, two other witnesses said subsequently, obviously we have to establish that it was subsequent, but subsequent to that first event of the Kiddushin, we saw someone else having intercourse with this woman. The Afagav the Ede Bia Tzirchala Ede Kiddushin. It's true that the intercourse is meaningless without the information about the Kiddushin. But it's not called a Chatzidavar. Why? Because since the Ede Kiddushin stand independently, they've established the halacha of Adeshet Ish. So it's no longer called a Chatzidavar, because now that we can accept the half of the information which was necessary to turn their statement into something non-trivial, and it stands on its own. This woman is an Ashes Ish. Thank you. That stands on its own. We'll put it as a marriage registry. So now any additional information is not called a Chatzi Davar. If you've got a half of a thing in which both statements are trivial without the other, then Rabbi Akiva is saying you can't put them together. So the same case, therefore, would be here over here. If somebody comes and says, two witnesses come and say, so-and-so stole a shor. Is that trivial? Of course not. It's mechayev of him. Kefa. Great. Now, two other people come and they say, that shor, was it stolen? I have no idea if it's stolen, but I can tell you, that shor, he shechted. And then it's not trivial, because being as the other statement stands, and the Bezek had established that it was a stolen shor, so then we will accept him, even on Libet Rabbi Akiva. So I don't think that this mish is a problem on Libet Rabbi Akiva at all. So, Chodami, Afakav the Ede Tvicha, Tvicha Ede Geneva, it's true. Now, what the Ede Tvicha is saying is essentially trivial without the Ede Geneva, but the Ede Geneva, Lo Tvicha Ede Tvicha. Therefore, this is not called a Chatzi Davar. This is Davar Karina Bey. And therefore, works out a Libet Rabbi Akiva as well. Now, the Rabbanon, who argue, and they say that even in this case of Ochla Shana Rishona, Ochla Shana Shnia, in order to establish a Chazaka. So they said, well, interesting, Rabbi Akiva doesn't seem to agree with that, but it seems like it's perfectly valid. We should be able to put these three sets of data together to create a Chazaka. So then what do they do indeed with the Pasuk? Davar v'lo chatzi davar. I mean, Rabbi Akiva is pointing out that the Torah is specifying that testimony cannot be trivial. Now, obviously, I mean, that's got to mean something. It can't mean, it cannot be trivial if it really is trivial. It means that on its own, if it's trivial, it's unacceptable. So how can they ignore such a drush? It's a very powerful statement, davar. I mean, that davar means this is very meaningful. So what do they do with hai davar v'lo chatzi davar? What is that coming to be mamayit? Well, that's coming to mind. Let's say you have two witnesses, okay? Two witnesses are coming to establish that a certain woman is no longer a minor. So one witness says, well, I saw a pubic hair towards her rear. The other one says, I saw a pubic hair towards her front. I mean, so then neither of them saw two pubic hairs. So therefore, we don't put that information together. So echad omer begaba, echad omer echad begaba. He saw only one hair. Echad omer echad begresa. That's the case. I mean, that's a ridiculous case. That's not a Chatzi Davar problem. That's a Chatzi Edut problem. What are you? You've got one witness saying something that's, even if there would be two witnesses, it would be trivial. One witness is saying something that is different from what the other witness is saying. So you never even get to the point of whether it's trivial. You get to the fact that you don't have testimony. One witness for sure doesn't mean anything. You're saying one witness saw X, and one witness saw Y, and now let's put X and Y together, two separate items, because that's not only a chatzi davar, that's a chatzi edut. You weren't saying anything with two people together. They were being made on different things. Oh, you're sorry. Okay, you're right. I don't need the pussy, obviously, to tell me that. I made a mistake. I mean, two witnesses saw one hair, echad begaba, and two witnesses saw echad bekresa. So then what's the bottom line? What, are we going to put the two witnesses together? Each one is saying nothing, because they're both saying, as far as I know, she's a ketana. The other group is saying, as far as I know, she's a ketana. Over there, we'd have to put together two pieces of information in order for it to mean anything at all. In that case, it's indeed not considered to be a testimony. How is that different from the case of 3 years? Because 1 year without the other years ought to be similar to one hair without the other hair. So here there's a machlokas. Tosfos says the reason is because being as the information that you're given can only be given in that fashion. What you saw was the full information available at that time. Therefore, it's not trivial, because you can't see 3 years at a time. You're only able to see the year that you saw. So what you saw was everything that was seeable. That's considered to be davar. When it's not considered to be davar is when you're saying you only saw half of what you needed to see. Well, for God's sake, why don't you look at... I'm too modest to look at the other part, you know. So fine, so then don't tell us what you didn't see. What are you coming to be made on? So over there, it's a chatzi davar. That's Tosfos' approach. Now the Rif, which he brings here, he doesn't like. The Rif says that since there is meaning to the testimony in other context. In other words, let's say that the guy is unable to establish the chazaka. So then the testimony that he ate the tefuah of that year becomes now testimony against him to be able to try to get that money back. So you can't say that it's a trivial statement. Why is it a trivial statement? He would have to pay what he ate if he doesn't get the other testimony. In which case, although vis-a-vis the usage that we're making of them to establish his chazaka, you might say it's a chatzi davar, but it's certainly not trivial. So they're learning, says the Rif, that the meaning of chatzi davar is indeed that it has to be not that it's simply meaningless on its own for what you're trying to establish, but it would have to be a trivial statement that the court says goodbye. So what do you mean? But it's very valuable under other circumstances. Oh, okay, fine, then we'll accept it. So that indeed would be the nafkamina, but where it's truly trivial, one pubic hair. That's really grand. I mean, we're excited. So that, of course, is a meaningless statement on any level. And there you can't put together two meaningless statements. The next case that we had in the Mishnah is Gonav Ubachar B'Shabbat. The Mishnah says that if you sell something on Shabbos, then obviously, I mean, sale is not a nice thing to do. It's just a drabonon, but there's no kimle b'drabimine. But it's very strange because there's a braita that says that you're putter. Not for shechting on Shabbos, for selling on Shabbos. How in the world would you be potter for selling on Shabbat? Omer Rabbi Bar Choma, well, ki tanya, he the potter, the case where it's potter is talking about, where the guy says, listen, how about if we make a little deal? You go ahead, and akotz te'enami te'enati, v'tik te'ligi nevotech. We're going to make an exchange. You go over to my tree. I've got a beautiful tree of great figs. Go ahead and pick the figs, and you will, by taking those figs, I will be kena now the animal that you're trying to sell me. And there, that will be the payment for my animal, and that completes the sale. But that means that the act of completing the sale was a chilul Shabbat. So all that bride is pointing out that it is possible to arrange things in a way that you will be mechal Shabbat even on a sale, not only in a tficha. And there too, you would be potter. Fine. So in such a case, it would be a proper sell, and it would be a chilul Shabbos. Says, well, wait, that's not true. Because suppose you pick the te'inim, and You don't give the guy the behema. So now the guy goes to court and he says, this rotten ogunik, he took my teinim and he didn't pay. Says the court, when did this happen? Well, on Shabbos, last Shabbos. Picked your teina on Shabbos, so then he's chayav nisa. There's no payment that is necessary to chayav nisa. So we're very sorry, sir, but we cannot recover your animal. Because this person now is no longer in the tchum of civil law, he's in criminal law.
So what happens to the...
We eat it. Me and you, Rich. We have a barbecue. So now what that means is that the sale was not a very good sale because it's not recoverable in court. A sale unenforceable in court is not a sale. So you don't need to come onto the Chil Shabbos and come like the Rabbi Binei to potter him from the Arbava Chabisha. He didn't make a sale. Obviously, if he didn't make a sale, there's no Arbava Chabisha. So that can't be what the case is talking about in the Braita. So Kiva de Chitava le Kaman Bedina. If he would take us to court, Lo Amrina Leizil Shleim, we can't tell him pay it up because after all, it's B'chayiv B'nav Shohu. So then Amechira Namilav Mechira. He never even sold the animal. So, I mean, I thought we were talking about a case where you were going to have umachar, and this is not a case of going to have umachar. Okay. I got a case. The case is, he says, throw the animal over the fence into my rishus, from rishus harabim, you little ganav. And when you throw it over the fence, at that point, I'll be kind of the geneva with my chotzer. He's a lamdan, this guy who's buying for his defense, you know. That's why they call it defense. So throw it over the fence, and now I'll be kind of. It's all based on the sugya of Chilul Shabbos, but, you know, it's all, using that word, it's a whole sugya. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. So then that's only going al libe de Rabbi Akiva, you see, because Rabbi Akiva holds the Gabi Chilul Shabbos. The kluta kemishun chadanya, something which is in the airspace and hasn't yet settled on the ground. Now, normally we know that hotza'an Shabbat consists of an akira and a hanoch. Besides the actual transference from one space to another. But you're not considered to be in this space or out of the space unless you were settled in it. So over here, when it comes to monetary issues, airspace is gone. But when it comes to Shabbos, if you're still moving, then you haven't yet done a Maisa Votzah. The only thing is it happens to be Alibet Rabbi Akiva, is that when something comes within a mechitza, even if it hasn't landed, it's kalut. And it's considered to be as if it's already on the ground. Now, obviously, we still have a problem, even a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, because you'd have to get it over the fence. But then before it comes between the fence, it's only in the airspace that's not enclosed. And therefore, even a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, it won't be klut the kemishun kadam. It says, Tos is talking about that there's an opening in the fence. So now you'll have to throw it through the opening. At that point, the moment that it's kened, which is when it crosses over into my rishos, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, it's considered to be munach, because he holds kluta, something within mechitzot, is the equivalent of munach, it's at rest in my rishos. So only I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva would we say that the chilul Shabbat and the sale come simultaneously, which allows you to be potter, because kim leib it rabbi mineh. But if we need to hold like the Rabbonan, that the sale would take place immediately, but the chilul Shabbat only takes place a second later, after it already lands on the ground, so then it's not simultaneous, and then we can still be Tovei on the Tricha Mechira. So in other words, you're saying that it's going only a Libra Akiva. Because, I mean, Kluta Kemishul Kadav is only a Libra Akiva. A little strange state of bright is going a Dafka against the Data of the Rabbi. Because Dikar Abona, Kiva Debat Yalachatzar Beito, once he comes into the airspace of his house, he's Kona. Now, as far as Shabbat is concerned, in Shabbat, Lo Mechayev Adamat Yaliyar, you have to wait until it lands on the ground. You know, that's really not a problem. I mean, the bright is just saying you can find a case in which you would be potter. Obviously, the whole case is a weird case, right? I mean, it's a weird case, you can make it as weird as you want. We're just trying to find a laboratory situation which it's possible to be potter in Arba v'chamisha because of a bechira. So you want to say it's going to leave the rabbon, and I'll just make the case a little weirder. So the guy says, not only my fence will fence it for you, but it's only going to be a kinyan when it lands. He's a double glamdan over here. So he wants to be yaitse, I feel, even the rabbonan, that this guy should be potter from Arba v'chamisha. This guy's a brilliant fence, because he says, look, you do it my way, And you end up taking much less of a risk, because if the cops catch you, you're only going to be killed. You're not going to be chayav arba v'chamisha. Of course, he won't be killed because he wasn't bekabalat ra'ah. So l'maisa, you'll get off scot-free. You know, he walks, exactly. So it's classic. So the fence has got a great, he's got a great little strategy over here for getting all of the stolen animals in town, right? So that would be the case. But Omer, he tells him, lo tiknili gnevatecha, achita nuach. The kinyan should only be chal at the moment that it lands on the ground. So this was perfect for a Muncie meat market. They would use this. So Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says, we can go back to what we said before. Rami Bar Choma's case was, pick a fig, and that will be the payment. And then it'll be kona, right? That's what you said. We didn't like that because we said it's not a valid sale. It's unenforceable in court. And therefore, the Torah would not consider that to be mechira. Who said you needed an enforceable sale to be called mechira? Let me ask you something. Suppose a guy makes a deal with a prostitute. The esnan is usur. How about if the prostitute is his mom? We might as well get into some serious Freudian stuff here. Right? So if that's the case, if his mother takes him to court for not paying up, it's not enforceable in court. Because the court will say, this guy would be chayim misa for sleeping with his mother anyway, so we can't enforce in court the agreement to pay her esnan. Nonetheless, that etnan would be considered to be an etnan when he gives it as an etnan. Its enforceability is irrelevant. Because in fact, it was exchanged for sexual services. What's the difference whether it was enforceable? So over here, if in fact it was transferred, the Torah is not interested in a technical sale. The Torah is interested in an exchange of the animal for something else. So since over here the exchange was effected, so therefore, if it was effected through Chilul Shabbat, what's wrong with what Rami Bar Chama said? You guys got so into the details about how do we technically define a mechira, where the intent of the Torah is the act and not the legality of it, there's no reason to even deal with that issue. We don't need to look at enforceability. So the Olam Karami Bar Chama, I say, look, it made perfectly good sense, the old case of pick a fig, because it's non Asrat Torah. The Torah said, you cannot use an etnan on the Mizbeach. I don't care if it was a payment for his mother's services. Afilu ba'al imo. Nonetheless, itavale kaman bedin. Let me ask you something. A mother comes into court and sues her kid for not paying her for her sexual services. Will you collect for her? Mi'amirelekum avla etnan. Do we say pay her up? No. Why? Not because we're moralists, but because the Torah says, kab le b'derabi minei pater. We will not paskin, go pay her up. But nonetheless, keep it the chiyoyv lehavi etnan. But when he does pay her up, fact is that he's paid an etnan. Now that etnan is also to bring on the mizbeah. Doesn't become kosher because it's his mother. Okay, so if that's the case, here too, lafinami. Afagav deli inyan tashu. You may be very right, technically speaking. Enforceability may be, in fact, it's not enforceable. We would not have said pay up. But that doesn't mean that if he does pay up, it's not called a mechira. If, in fact, this is the way that the mechira was achieved, so then the shame on this animal is that it was a tvichav, a stolen animal. Same with the shame of the kevis that he gives to his mother. Has a shame, it's none. And therefore, havilei mechira. Only because it's so then the signing on the power of attorney is mixa kishikra, avalo kafre, then we would be katvinan. The amr nardoi, any power of attorney in the lokotivbe, zil don vizachi viapik ladafshecha, is useless, at least to take the guy to court. Let me be shasha by time. Yishub da omale, hey, the guy who's refusing to pay says, look, sir, I don't know who you are. La bal dorm de diat. Amr abaya, but, ikotivbe even, mechsa, shlish, ravia, I mean, once he's got a percentage, we could have mishtoy din ha-palga, mishtoy din ha-kula. We can't have a 10% din. Omer ha-memer, itafas lo mafkina minet. Vashomar, given the katvele, called him itani medina kabilat alai. Obviously, he's only a shliach. Shliach shavya, so how can he be tofes? Ikiriyam is shut for shavya. Lamein afkamina lemit v'spalga. Ve'ilchatar shliach shavya. Gonav api shleim v'davar amach rapia. Or even api shleim achirim. V'shalim tashlubi arba v'chamisha. Gonav v'machar b'shabbat. Gonav v'machar alav adazara. Gonav v'tavar b'yom ha-kippurim. Gonav mishal aviv v'tavach u'machar. V'achar kach. Beit aviv. Gonav v'tavach v'achar kach l'gedish. All of these cases are going to be contrasted to equivalent cases in the next Mishnah, the Sefer, in which there's that slight difference. Instead of Bachar Tavach, instead of his father dying after, his father died before, had the Shabbos before. So we're looking at half of the story over here. God have a Tavach Vachar Kedish, Pshat Shumi Arba V'Chamisha. God have a Tavach Lurfua, L'Klavim, or Ashoke V'Nibtza Tshefa, or Ashokhet Kulin Bazara, Misham Tashumi Arbava Kamisham. Rabbi Shimon Poter in the last two cases because Shishkit Shenaruya. Lema Matitin de Loka Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, Amar Yakum Davar, Davar Velokatsi Davar. Vitanya Am Rabbi Yosef. Gishalach Abakalafte to Rabbi Yochan Manuri. In Motorar, some say it was Rabbi Yochan Manuri, who came to Abakalafta. So Amarlo, Hareshach Lashan, Arishon Abifleshnaim of Shnei Chazaka. And then the second year of the Shnei Chazak b'fnei Shnayim, and Shlishit b'fnei another Shnayim. Is that good to put together? Ma'al. Amalo, it's perfect. Harizu Chazaka. Amalo, well, you know, hafani omer kid. But I hear that Rabbi Akiva is chaylek b'davar. Shaya Rabbi Akiva omer, yokum davar v'lo chatsi davar. Amar Abaye now works out perfectly well. A few times Rabbi Akiva in our case. Milo Amadu Rabbi Akiva b'shnayim omrim kidesh, and then another shnayim omrim ba'al. Another guy was ba'al, who now turns out to be an eshet ish. The afa gav the eidei bia tzrichal eidei kedushin to be meaningful, but given the eidei kedushin tzrichal eidei bia, we call it a davar. Tzalchinami. It's true that the eidei tzvicha are tzrichal eidei geneva, but the eidei geneva are lo tzrichal eidei tzvicha, and therefore davar karina be. Now, what about the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Akiva and say the Shnei Chazaka story would be good? How do they learn Davar Velochatsi? Davar Lemutimar? Lemute, where one witness says, Echad Begaba, and one witness says, Echad Begresa. Okay, that's not a case of Chatsi Davar, that's a case of Chatsi Edut. There's no two people being made on the same thing. Sorry, Chatsi Davar Velochatsi Edut. Sorry. Lemute, Shnayim Omrim, Echad Begaba. Shnayim Omrim, Echad Begresa. Each statement is trivial because Hani Amriktani, Vahani Amriktani. Ganav Amachar B'Shabbat. Why does the Brayta say you're potter for Ganav Amachar B'Shabbat, where the Mishnah says you're chayiv? Omer Ami Barchomi, because the Brayta is talking about Kitani the potter. Be Omer Lo Akot Te'inami Te'inati, V'tikneigli Genevotech. Amrei, V'kivan D'chitava L'kaman B'dina Lo Amrin L'Zir Shlim, because he's a Machayiv B'Nafshu, it's come L'Benav B'Bine. So then it's not even a mechira. And the Mishnah is talking about Ganav v'Machar. Hai mechira la mechirai. Elo Amar Rav Papa, okay. Bo'im le'zrok g'nevotech ala chatziri, v'tikne li g'nevotech. K'man k'Rabbi Akiva. Dome k'lutu k'mishun chadamia. But I mean, certainly, Ikra Abona k'ivu demati ala chatzir beito. At that moment in the air sprays, he's kona. Whereas in Shabbat, he's not going to be chayav till the lands, hatamati liyara. No, you want a better case. Biyomer lo tikne ligenevotecha ad shetanuach. Rav Amar leolam karami barchoma and the fig tree. Because look, etnan asrat Torah filu baalimo itava lakaman bedina. Were we going to tell a guy to pay up kuma havle etnan? Of course not. But that's irrelevant because afaka dechitava la bedina lo amrin lezil havla, but kima dechiyahiv la havi etnan. So achinami afaka dechini tashlumi. Nonetheless, a filoachi, kiva de kamach de lebaachi, have a mechirah.